Denise Lynch here, coming to you from the heart of the Galisteo Village in New Mexico. I'm here at Quartermill Gallery, the physical home of Radio Free Galisteo. My late mother, Priscilla Hoback, also known affectionately as the Queen of All Mediums, left behind several collectible pieces of her artwork, including some short stories and a book about her beloved Galisteo. Today I'm reading a selection from that book entitled The Coyote, the Moon, and the Bosque. I am lying in my bed with a toothache looking through the dusty window pane. The upper corner of the hayloft above the barn is just visible. My dentist will be out of town until Wednesday. Boredom and pain are a difficult combination. I watch the ravens who have taken up residence in the barn for the summer. Their shiny black bodies are sleek, their eyes shine brightly as they chatter away. Their strong black beaks are full of words. They squawk like the old barn door, sing out a tune, and talk endlessly in a voice that sounds like black feathers. Word around town is that they were sent here by a well-known shaman who spends most of his time in the remote Yaqui Desert. They are to be the students of a Hopi knower who is his longtime friend and ally. This knower lives in the village and will help the ravens further their studies of magic. He will teach them healing rituals and unusual secret ceremonies. This afternoon, the knower is under the apple tree in his backyard working at his forge. He's making himself a pair of spurs to wear when he rides his horse around the village. It is unusual that he makes something for himself. Most of the time, he gives his hand-forged tools to his friends and neighbors. He and his wife love to entertain. He roasts and smokes beef, brisket, and chickens that are the centerpiece of their dinner parties. Soon they will have to build a larger patio to seat all their friends at the new dinner table. The ravens come by to visit. Usually the knower is very hospitable. Sometimes he even enjoys their interruptions. They hope he will offer them a taste of his home-smoked salmon on a cracker. Today their timing is unfortunate. He is busy working over the hot forge, pounding a strip of iron with a large hammer into the rounded shape of a spur. He is at a stage where he cannot stop shaping the white-hot metal. Politely as he can, he suggests, "Go study with Coyote for a while." The ravens move away as instructed. After talking it over, they agree to learn something new about Coyote every day, one day at a time. They will be here all summer, and when they return to Mexico, they hope to have gained a great deal of knowledge. One thing they are sure to learn is what a tricky coyote is, and how fleeting are the summer days. Beside the Galisteo Creek is a beautiful bosque. Bird watchers, village children, and adventurous residents explore the game paths that crisscross the small creek. Their ancestors, for the past 300 years, have grown up loving the wild animals and migrating birds who can be found there. The ravens spend most of the hot summer in the cool shade of the cottonwood trees. They review their lessons while they groom each other's long black feathers. New people move into the village seeking a new life, trying out rural living. They know nothing about a bosque and very little about living in a village. They may vary in age and education, but are similar in their desire to improve life here with more modern ideas. Quickly, they join together to reorganize the water department, the community center, the fire department, and even the annual studio tour. They have come up with legal skills acquired from elsewhere. They think of these skills as improvements. Village residents have learned to beware of new ideas and rapid changes. They seek their guidance from the fairies and ghosts and ancient gods that flicker through the shadows in the bosque. Sometimes these spirits bring warnings. First, ravens see something in the trees. Look at those twinkling shapes whizzing by. These beings are the protectors of the bosque. They are unusually active today. The ravens follow several people on their walk through the bosque. They are finding the faint trail difficult to navigate. "This is nothing more than a slippery game trail," one of them complained. "With a little effort and my chainsaw, we could turn this untidy tangle into a spacious park. The entire village could have picnics and fundraisers here." He carefully brushed away a large spiderweb that was protecting the nest of a hummingbird. Several times, Second Raven heard the words, "grant money." "We could clear away all the Russian olive trees and the salt cedar bushes, remove all that is slippery and scary like those spiderwebs. Of course, the tall cottonwoods trees will stay. We all want the cool shade, but all underbrush must go. It's nothing more than a fire hazard. We'll make a wide, pleasant path for an afternoon walk. Then there will be fewer mosquitoes and no snakes, and all the branches that are half hidden in the mud will be removed." Second Raven whispered, "What they really think is that a walking path would improve their lagging real estate sales. These plans will benefit them financially. First Raven said in a worried tone. The Bosque is a green oasis where many creatures raise their young. It must be protected. They could carelessly destroy it. Why do these newcomers think the Bosque's theirs anyway? Soon, men with machines began clearing the underbrush. Long-eared Owl calls for an emergency meeting for the Animal Council. What are we to do now that our world is being destroyed? We cannot live in the desert. We need a stream and grass and shade and shelter. The overgrown Bosque where prehistoric plants grew was our perfect world. Long-eared Owl worries and mumbles to herself. I am so upset. Soon the workers will reach my nest that is deep in the underbrush. It contains 2 eggs that have not hatched yet. Something must be done. She flies high into a cottonwood tree to talk to her sister, Moon. This moon lives high in the sky and can see what is coming over the horizon. She whispers a secret to Long-eared Owl. It is a big secret about things to come and things to go. Long-eared Owl brings the secret to the council. Look for a narrow ribbon of light to be ready to move. She flew away to deal with her unhatched chicks. Coyote is in the desert watching the ravens. He begins to sing his night song. Second Raven settles down on a nearby cedar tree to listen. With a shake of his tail feathers, First Raven folds long wings neatly across his back. Let's try to understand what Coyote's song is about. What trick is he up to now? First Raven answers, It is quite simple, not a mystery at all. Like most things concerning Coyote, it has to do with his dinner. Coyote prefers dining on small animals and mice that are fattened on kitchen scraps from the village. He will use one of his tricks to get these treats. Coyote's night song fills the canyons and reaches to the top of Cerro Pelon. His song floats through the village. No one is sleeping tonight. Even the moon follows Coyote's song. She lights a faint path to guide the shadows moving into the village. They walk and crawl and scurry, and a few fly. When asked what happened that night, First Raven tells it this way. I heard Coyote sing and sing. I saw the moon reach down and send a ripple of moonlight to him. Somewhere between Coyote singing and the moon rising and the light streaming and the animals scattering, the world changed. In the village, Coyote stops to clean his dusty paws. He watches the raccoons build their homes in the corner of the vegetable garden. Skunk families crawl under the wide portals, and the snakes dug holes under rose bushes. Mice and birds scattered around looking for just the right place. They moved into the village portals and adobe homes. They blessed the moonlight. They blessed the dark. The genie is now out of the bottle, grins Coyote. The moon and I led the creatures out of the Bosque and into the village. They followed moonlight. He thought about the fat mice who were now living next door. He began to drool a little. First Raven observes, Creatures now share homes with the village people. Day and night they will see them scurry around. They may not like the rural life so much. They may want to move to Santa Fe, closer to Baskin and Robbins or the La Fonda Bar. First Raven thinks about this. Oh, Coyote, no wonder the shaman wants us to study you. We never took our eyes off of you, and look how the village changed. You led the creatures into their homes. Second Raven asked, Are you sure it was Coyote and not the clearing of the Bosque that made the creatures move? First Raven answers with assurance, Of course it was the changing Bosque. Still, Coyote played his part. He takes advantage of every opportunity. That is why he will be here long after the newcomers have moved away. The knower sits on a wooden bench enjoying the evening now that his spurs are finished. Next, he will make leather straps that match his stirrups. Perching above him, the ravens are unusually quiet. They are thinking about recent events. They wish the knower would teach them the ceremonies to keep away worrisome spirits. The knower stands up and walks into his house to cook dinner for his wife. He chases the mice off the countertop and reaches for the wooden salad bowl. As he wipes it clean, he wonders if he should get a cat. Well, asks First Raven, if the Bosque ever grows thick underbrush again, will the creatures leave their village homes and return? Not if I have anything to do with it, thinks Coyote as he trots toward the barn. Fresh straw has been spread over the floor of an empty stall for the new horse who will arrive tomorrow. Coyote makes a nest there and curls up to wait. Soon he lifts one ear. The first plump mouse ventures out. Oh, yes, he whispers, dinner time. Second Raven comments, Time will tell how long this new arrangement will last. Coyote overhears him. He stretches and yawns. He thinks to himself, Time is the real keeper of secrets. I am Coyote. Beloved by the Great Spirit, this desert belongs to me.
Radio Free Galisteo is listener supported. If you go to www.radiofreegalisteo.com, you can find our Patreon support button. Click it and become an active supporter of this podcast.